Solution.
Tell me something about you.
My Talk 1071 is KTMY FM HD1.
Welcome to the show. Happy Monday.
Welcome to our coffee shop at 8 p.m. in Colorado. This song.
We have to talk about something much more important. Mike had sort of a family reunion type of an event this weekend, and he experimented with an appetizer madness. Winner, I guess.
You experimented with who was the winner? Wasn't that Donna and
everybody
Steve?
Yeah.
Who won?
Yep.
Donna Don and Steve.
They won, right?
For the slider recipe. Yeah. Mike had a different version
they
of it.
They experimented with their entry, not them. So, yeah, Mike, you were saying you brought those sliders, but then you did like a, you found another version of those on the TikTok.
I did. So, of course, the sliders in question, these were the ones where it's ham and Swiss, and then you cover it in that sauce. That's basically a mixture
like
of
a honey mustardy.
Yeah, it's more, there's butter melted down with Worcestershire and, and some poppy seeds, some mustards in there as well. And so, basically, I made those. Two big batches of those, but this is a big, I got a big family, not brothers and sisters, but I've got a big extended family, lots of cousins, a lot of aunts and uncles, and they were all coming for this event. We were celebrating the 1 year, or remembering, I guess, my grandma 1 year after she passed yesterday.
Aww. So it was very sweet.
It was, yes, it was good to get everyone together, and I had this awesome event. So there were lots of different food options, but I knew I needed to make something else. So I made those sliders that won, and they turned out amazing, as always. And then I decided to make this other slider recipe that I found on TikTok. As you said, you cut little holes in King's Hawaiian buns.
So you cut, little holes
like the middle of a King's Hawaiian bun.
Okay. In the middle of the King's Hawaiian sweet bread roll.
You cut out a hole that's a little bit bigger than a meatball.
Okay.
And that's important. A little bit bigger than a meatball.
Put a pin in that.
Exactly. Then you melt down some butter. You add some garlic. You basically create your own little garlic butter concoction. And then you put that all over top of it. Cover those King's Hawaiian buns in garlic butter.
I mean, that alone would be fine by me.
I just want that.
And you throw that in an oven at 400 for about 5 minutes. Just kind of toast it up a little bit. Then you pull those bad boys back out. And you take some pizza sauce or just some sort of tomato pasta, whatever, some marinara sauce of some form, pizza sauce, and you put that in each one of those little holes.
Did you make a pizza sauce or did you use
we did
a
not.
Jar?
We just used our buddies over from Rouse.
Oh, God, they have the best sauce. Good. They truly have the best sauce. And it's like clean. It's not full of gunk.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we did with the...
It's good, clean, fine.
Yeah, we did the Rouse and then dumped that all in there. And then we take a little bit, a little piece of mozzarella. You put that on the bottom.
When you say a little piece of mozzarella, do you mean like what do you mean a little piece?
I'm taking like a block of mozzarella cheese and then I'm cutting it into little squares.
Okay.
And I'm putting a block that's just a little bit smaller than that circle and I'm dropping that in there. And then I'm taking some meatballs that were pre-cooked meatballs. I put them in the microwave just to kind of cook them up.
I was going to say, were these like frozen meatballs?
Yeah, these were frozen. Put them in the microwave to kind of get them, you know, less frozen because they're not going to spend much time in the oven.
I love it.
Put those on top of that mozzarella. And then you take another bigger piece of mozzarella, put that on top of that one. So now you've got a hole that currently has the sauce. It's got the mozzarella, it's got the meatball, and it's got another mozzarella. And then I took some Parmesan cheese and kind of just sprinkled that all over the top of it. And you put that in the oven for about 10 to 15 minutes, take it out, it's delicious.
So basically, and you describe this as like little mini meatball subs.
Yeah, they're like pull apart little meatball subs or pizza sub or pizza little sandwiches or whatever.
Sandwiches. Did you serve the sandwiches with a little marinara chow?
No, and that is one thing I will say. If you do this recipe, you got two options. I would say either do what you just said, serve it with marinara sauce to have it to be dipped in, or just add more sauce to it. That is the one thing that I wish I would have done more of because it's the first time we've ever made
saucy?
It.
And that wouldn't
have been too saucy? No, it didn't quite have the saucy punch I was expecting it would have.
Yeah.
It was more bready, but it's King's Hawaiian bread, so that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I just would have liked more of a saucy punch.
I have a question.
Yeah, go
saucy
for it.
Saucy punch.
Mm-hmm. So
is
the sauce,
a nickname I want you to apply to somebody. Yes,
sounds good.
After you bore the hole out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you put the sauce in there first. I'm worried that the sauce is going to leak through.
Nope, it's not that deep of a hole. So you want to leave enough room
it's
at the
like
bottom
a golf
of your
ball size hole.
Well, a little bit larger than a meatball, or then you don't
well,
and you
that's
don't.
That's relative because our meatballs at home are like the size of a.
You're talking about like the ones you get at the store that are frozen.
Yeah, it would be like a store bought frozen meatball.
Okay.
Because you couldn't, I mean, those meatballs, like making a big homemade meatball would be too big to
smaller
fit
than a golf ball.
In a King's Hawaiian bun. So yeah, smaller than a golf ball.
Smaller than a golf ball? Mm-hmm. Okay.
All and right. then just don't go all the way through it, and then you won't have to worry about it
and
ending
then
up in there.
Did you just eat the little bits that you tunneled out?
No, we actually froze those, and we're going to turn those into croutons.
Oh my God.
Mike!
Yeah.
I love it. Now but, you're thinking.
Wow.
But, fry them up in a little butter.
The nice thing that you do by throwing them in there for 5 minutes first and crisping them up, then you, I think you have less of an issue with the sauce ever running through.
I see.
Because it's going to go in there before the sauce gets applied.
Gotcha. Okay.
Really tasty.
But I could see you also just doing, like, I mean, if you wanted to get real sloppy, mm-hmm. I mean, you could just cover that thing in sauce.
100%.
Then you know, it wouldn't be like a handheld.
No, it wouldn't
either.
Be a handheld at all. Or I like the other idea of just cheese and meatball and then serve it with a sauce.
The one thing that surprised me is how well it kept, like, because this was a big potluck situation. There was a lot of food. I wanted to look it up, what we all had. We had scalloped potatoes, cheesy potatoes, German potatoes, American potatoes, potato salad, pork with sauerkraut, a Rotel chip dip. But like I said, basically every version of potato you could think of.
I really need you to bring us some German potato salad. Two reasons. One, I love it. And two, Dawn, I don't think you've ever had it.
Oh,
right? Didn't we talk about that?
Oh, maybe not.
It's the hot.
Is it hot?
It's
the hot
German potato salad. It's like sliced potatoes mm-hmm. with like a hot, usually bacon dressing.
We're trying it tomorrow. I'm bringing some in for you guys tomorrow.
What?
Warming it up and we'll try it.
Nice.
Got some in my fridge right now. It's not going to be a ton. I don't have a ton left, but.
Food Porn Tuesday.
I'm here for it.
And Bradley's birthday.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
What was your favorite potato?
Of all those, mine's always the German. Yeah. I love the German potato salad. It's so good. It's got like it's like vinegar
it's
in there
tangy.
As well. It's a tangy. Yep.
It's going to open my
it's
world.
It's a good Midwestern classic.
Okay.
My aunt, that's her specialty.
You might not like it though. I will say like Jamie does not like German potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, not a fan.
Okay.
Me, a fan.
Well, if it's something that Mike's aunt made, I'm not going to say I don't like it. You know what I mean?
Well, you're more than welcome to. She won't. She makes American too. Every time we have a big family gathering, she makes a big thing of German, a big thing of American, because some people don't like the hot and don't like the tang taste. They just want the good old classic American. So.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. My mom doesn't like tang. Jamie doesn't like tang. They're not tang forward. I'm very tang forward. Give me all the tang.
Yeah.
Tang.
Okay.
Hey.
Careful.
Mike, do you have a recipe for them sliders?
I don't. It literally was just something I saw on TikTok. And I can maybe find the video.
I was going to say, if you come across a video, the only reason I'm asking is because I know listeners and they're out there listening going,
I want to
make that Mac slider recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So even though our listeners don't talk like that, if you find it.
Yes, I'll look it up.
Put it up and make sure it gets out online. Hey, when we come back. I don't know if you saw Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday party, but it was a thing of magic for a few reasons. Chief among them, Tom Cruise did the splits during a breakdance routine. And that's all I need to talk about when we come back right here on Mike.
Keyword rewards.
Hey, my talkers, Bradley here from my good friends at your boat club. You know how, like, we say it's good to know somebody who has a boat because then, like, you get all the benefits of being on the water, but you don't have to worry about the responsibility. Well, if you don't know anybody who owns a boat or you feel like you don't want to bother them every weekend this summer going, hey, can I get on your boat? I have got the solution for you. It's my friends at Your Boat Club. You know, Jamie and I have loved our experience with Your Boat Club so much, we signed up again this year. They truly make it super easy for you and your whole family or your friends, or your loved ones, or maybe just you and your dog to get on the water this summer. And by water, I mean lakes across Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, even Florida, and yes, France. They're everywhere. For good reason, because they truly can get you on the water in no time. They take care of the work. You show up and take care of the fun. Head to yourboatclub.com today to learn about annual memberships. And don't forget to tell them Bradley sent you.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Do you want to have a birthday party like Victoria Beckham? You could. Tomorrow, Bradley Trainer, you're going to tell us all about what happened this weekend for her 50th.
Well, I don't keep tabs on Victoria Beckham most days, and I know she had that like documentary and all that stuff.
I kind of want to watch that after some things I've heard.
Yeah, you totally should. And then give us a full report. But in the meantime, I saw on the Daily Mail that not only did she have a 50th birthday party, but quote, Tom Cruise, 61, because the Daily Mail likes to point out people's
age.
Oh
my gosh, all the time.
Tom Cruise, old fogey, showed off his very all caps athletic side as he dropped into the splits on the dance floor at Victoria Beckham's 50th glitzy birthday bash.
Oh my gosh, I can't. Is he wearing a suit right now?
Well, we don't know because, I mean, he was when he arrived, but I don't know what happened midway through when he dropped it like it was hot. We don't have video.
Why?
I'm sure there is video, and I will say give it time because there was video. Did you see the other exciting part of her 50th birthday party?
That all the Spice Girls were there?
Yeah, and they were singing together.
Ooh.
Like they were literally singing out loud. I forget which song it was.
Stop.
Stop right now. Thank you very much. Got the human touch. Anyway, they were all doing that number live. So if there's video of that, then perhaps somewhere there is video of Tom Cruise busting out a breakdance routine. Literally, it's how it's described, which included him dropping to the floor in the splits and being, quote, this was my favorite quote, from Victoria Beckham's 50th, particularly enthusiastic. I mean, Tom Cruise
wants this video,
if anything, particularly enthusiastic.
Yeah.
It's almost scary how enthusiastic Tom Cruise can get. Yes. So I'm just like, why do we not have video of this?
Tom wants it out there. I guarantee you if someone posted it, he'd be like, good, I look really cool.
Yeah, so... he would think he looks pretty cool.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Now, when I saw this, I thought, well, maybe, I don't know. Also, the fact that Tom Cruise was there, I imagine, because, you know, he lives in London now. They're in London, right?
He's super rich. They're super rich.
Yeah, it's a thing. So that's not particularly surprising. It was really just the splits that got me. And also, you know, he's that, like, unnecessarily enthusiastic about life. Like, he just seems like when he turns it on, it's over the top. But also, this is not the first time, because the Daily Mail also points out that he did this, and it says there's video, but I couldn't find the video. A video from his own 49th birthday party, which was apparently in 2011, showed him doing the splits at his celebration. So it appears
it's the birthday splits.
This is the signature Tom Cruise birthday splits move.
If you can do the splits, I want to see it like all the time.
Yeah.
Anyone who can do the splits. Can you do the splits? I bet you can.
Zero chance. No, I am not flexible.
Oh, I'm not either. Yeah. I would love to be.
Me doing the splits it only happens at Dairy Queen. It's about the only split I'm going to have.
I haven't done the splits since college, and then everything atrophied after that.
Okay, well, if you could ever do the splits, you're winning at life. Mike, splits?
Oh, no.
Were you a cheerleader, Mike?
No, I was not.
He was a football player.
I know you played football, but sometimes football players are cheerleaders.
Did not have, flexibility is not one of my strong suits.
I just feel like you would be a great cheerleader.
Oh, thanks.
Because you got the spirit, man.
Yeah, yes, I do. I played the tuba.
I mean, that's kind of the same thing.
In the
thing.
Pep band, I would like dance around and play the tuba and do like, hey, baby, and sing into my tuba and do all these different things. So I kind of was a cheerleader. Yeah, I was kind of a cheerleader just with a tuba in my arms.
Yeah. You were leading a cheer with...
It's a sousaphone, but yes.
What's a sousaphone?
It's the one that wraps around your body.
Oh.
The tubas are actually just the ones that sit in front of you.
Do you still have the tuba?
When you say
I do not
wrap
have a sousaphone.
Because you rented it.
You know, like when you see a marching band and there's a tuba?
Yeah.
Is there a piece of metal that's wrapping around your body?
Well, the tubes of it, the sousaphone, actually wraps around you so you can march with it or you can use it in a pep band setting.
And you play that as
well. Oh, I see. Yeah. It's like a bit... That's usually heavy.
Usually tubas that are played in like a concert setting or orchestra setting are like big and they stand up in front of you.
Do they have threebas?
Threebas? I don't think so.
Or just the tuba.
Just the tubas.
That is a big ass... That looks like a threeba. Like when you Google sousaphone,
yeah. This is like Reba when she has a threesome. Threba.
Okay, Melissa Peterman, if you're listening, please clip that Melissa. And send it to Reba. That's what you call it when Reba has a threesome.
Sorry, Reba.
Never ever.
I love Reba.
She's a fun gal, but I don't know that she's.
Let's see how fun she is.
She's getting into the threebas.
Oh my god. Oh boy.
I think she's more of a tuba gal. All right. Where was I?
J.W. Pepper. How we got there.
Invented the sousaphone. Did you know that, Mike?
I assumed it was John Philip Sousa, but maybe that's just who it was named after.
Gosh.
Well, it was created at the direction.
Okay, got it.
Of John Philip Sousa.
That makes sense.
It was designed to play to be easier to play than the concert tuba while standing or marching. It
definitely is that.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. So what is a concert? I know this is not why we
just scroll
up.
Down. It's concert is one of the, they stand up. They'll sit on a little, there's a specialty chair that it sits on in front of you. It's got a stand in the middle and you just hold it straight up and it's got the three valves behind it.
There's also a euphonium.
Yep. That's a smaller tuba.
Trombone, that as well. Which that was my instrument in middle school for a hot minute.
What? Trombone?
Trombone, yeah. I wanted the trombone.
Those are kind of hard to play.
The spit trap was my favorite part. Because you'd open it up and it would just go.
That is. I don't like that part.
Yeah, no, it was gross.
Yeah.
I didn't do that very long. My parents were very grateful. Tuba practice or trombone practice doesn't sound very good.
Yeah. My daughter practiced. The tenor sax and clarinet.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, from fifth grade all the way
through. All of my friends did. I feel like everybody I knew did clarinet.
Yeah. It's your starter instrument for reed instruments. And then you can start breaking off into, you know.
So everyone starts with trumpet and then they work their way up. Yeah.
Why,
that's what I did.
Why did I get a trombone then?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because they needed somebody to play trombone.
You
in
just
the
started straight from trombone?
Yeah, that's what they gave
me. At what age?
Fifth grade.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Wow. I don't know why.
Needed
straight
to fill it
into
out.
The trombone.
Yeah. But then I went straight into the, you know, garbage because I was not very good at it.
I
really wanted
interest?
To play the accordion.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't teach that, so.
Yeah, it's hard to find a teacher for that.
Mike?
Yeah?
If we bring you a sousaphone,
sure.
Can you still play it?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay, so this is going to happen at some point.
Difficult to
at
play.
At the fair... I think we need to get Mike a sousaphone.
I was in percussion, so I can play some drums.
What percussion? Oh, drums?
Yeah.
Can we get you a trombone?
All of it. And then we're going to do a thruple.
Fine,
what
I'll
is it?
It's a threba.
Threba!
I'll sing, you play percussion, and Mike's got the sousaphone.
You're going to do trombone.
No. I'm not doing instruments. Oh. The only instrument I play is not allowed to be talked about on the radio. We'll be right back.
Whoa.
The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, where talk is fun. My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment.
Take a look at your forecast. It's brought to you by Rebath Minneapolis. Mention My Talk for $1,500 off a complete bathroom remodel. Visit rebath.com. We've got a high today of 66 with some thunderstorms expected for this.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back from the weekend. Had a good weekend. I ended up going to a comedy show on Friday night.
What?
Bradley, Mike, what did I say about Friday nights?
You don't like going out.
Do anything.
I don't want to do anything. Do you want to do anything on a Friday night?
I want to do one very particular thing on Friday night.
And that is not do anything. What?
What are you laughing at?
Your eyes said something different.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
It's called not leaving the house, Mike.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm not anything to do with scissors? Because you just scissors in your hand. And
I like to trim the landscape.
Jeez.
I mean, you know, like on a Friday night, you just want to like sit around the house and get things done. I've been putting it off all week. You got to keep up with things. Otherwise, they get out of control. Jeez.
Is it every Friday?
Okay. We trim for the weekend. Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay. Everybody's trimming for the weekend. You don't? What's going on? It must get real crazy.
Oh, God. I had a lot of laser hair removal.
Oh.
Anyway, let me get settled again. So I went out Friday night. I usually don't like to do anything on Friday night.
So while I was at home...
I'm trying to compose myself.
What's Dawn up to? Watching my programs.
At the same time.
I just have like...
Okay, okay. This is not
all right. Get it
good.
Together.
Oh my God. I went to a comedy show.
I bet you did.
Sounds like you had your own at home. I went to see Mark Normand at the State Theater, and I had never been there. And I'm like, oh, great. I get to sit down. It's not a concert where I'm standing in a mosh pit. You know,
you were not excited about leaving the house, but
I wasn't.
You got to sit in the dark, so it was fine.
Yeah, this is the only night he was going to be here. And so we got tickets and opening act. This guy, I'd never heard of him before. He is local. His name is Nate Abshire. And I just want to give a shout out to that guy because he is hilarious. It was a packed house. And it's like, I love to see people get a chance to open up for big name people and have you. It's great. Good for him. He's super funny.
Well, good. I'm glad it was a good show.
Now, I do have a question. Do people not dress up for events anymore? Like, if you're going to go to the theater, whether or not it's a comedian or... He's not like a pot comic where it's like...
What does that mean, a pot comic?
Well, there's comics that just talk about pot.
Oh, okay.
Which is hilarious. But, like, you kind of expect everybody to be a little slobby.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, we're going out.
Did you say a little chubby?
Slobby. Schlubby.
Oh, God. I was like, you expect him to be a little chubby. I was like, is that a thing?
Well, I mean, no. No, schlubby.
You expect him to be a little chubby?
They didn't think. They're probably high when they put on their clothes.
Got it. So, you're saying.
But this is like, you know, to me, it would be like a night out, like you'd probably go out to dinner, even if you just went to the show. My question is, what happened to people? Was it the pandemic? Because we had pretty good tickets, and like everything we saw in front of us was people in sweatpants and girls who look like they put their hair up just to wash their face, or they just popped out of the house to get some donuts. I'm like, what?
So what's it was particularly.
And can you run a comb through it?
What's
maybe?
The deal with?
What is the deal? What is the deal? You know, and even though, like, I'm curious about that. Like, I feel like there's a lot of fashion going on with people caring about fashion and.
Well,
you know,
here's the other thing audience may not know is that you are dressed to the nines at all times.
I am not dressed to the nines at all
you
times.
You do your hair and makeup every day.
I do try to put on an outfit that might,
every day.
Sometimes it looks like a crazy cat lady.
The rest of the rest of us don't. So that is very important to you. So I imagine that most people to you look kind of chubby.
Oh my God.
I think is the word you use.
No, I did not. Schlubby. No, I'm just saying like it can be jeans and a nice shirt. Like it doesn't have to be a three-piece suit. I'm just wondering. I feel like when you're going out on the town...
Yeah, I don't know. I will say, as someone who goes to like the theater on a regular basis, that ship has sailed. I think it was before the pandemic. I think that probably had part of something to do with it. But I think in general, because I have marveled before. I mean, I grew up, I think partially it's generational too, right? Like, young people don't have the expectation. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
If it's you're old or if it's just what your parents expected of you, but. When I was young and we went to the theater, but you know, also when I was young and you got on a plane, you dressed up.
True. I was
right?
talking
like,
to Brittany about that earlier.
People don't do that anymore. Some people do, but the expectation I don't think is that you leave the house looking a certain way any longer. Jeans and a t-shirt are, and I say that as someone who wears jeans and a t-shirt on a regular basis. So
yeah.
I don't put much thought or effort into my wardrobe. I will say when I go to the theater, I don't wear a jeans and a t-shirt, but that's again my holdover from like an earlier generation. But I think it's probably generational.
Probably. But I do see a lot of people caring a lot about fashion who are younger. And I'm like, why not do it now? Here's your chance to put on some clothes that are
you just
trendy
want to go out to
cute.
People and be like, how'd you leave the house looking like that?
I'm just, but it's the whole like everyone's wearing a hoodie that has paint stains, you know? And I'm like, what? Like, there should be some reverence for live theater, whether it be music or
I don't think
theater
there is.
Or a comedian. Like, we're going out to do a thing, and I feel like to respect the I don't know. I'm getting too deep about it.
No, I think to you that's important, and I get it. And I think a lot of people, it probably is equally important. But I think there is a certain... I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying
I really
is clear from my experience that people don't have the same values because I don't see that reflected in... Like, when we go see shows, like at the Orpheum, for example, I mean, there's people in all sorts of outfits.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a shame. I just think, like, I know that somewhere in your closet you have something that...
But
I don't
know
why.
Can I just play devil's advocate?
Yeah, please
why?
Do. Keep playing the devil's advocate.
Why? Like, why does it matter? Because you're in the dark and I ain't looking at you anyway.
I think that, like, I don't know. I kind of want to feel... I just feel
let it
like...
out.
It's like I don't feel good about myself when I look like... When I have on a hoodie and, like, my hair up in a ponytail, like, and like you did the ponytail yesterday. Like, I don't know. And just like, it just, I don't know. I do sound really old right now.
No, you just sound like you and you're allowed to have your opinion.
Yeah.
You don't have to justify your opinion. Yeah. It makes you feel good to be all dressed up and you should do that.
I just
think a lot of young
people don't want to do it.
I just think young people don't have that same feeling. And I don't know if it's because their parents didn't hold them to that standard or society didn't have that expectation of them.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
But again, I'm not saying I have the answer. I have noticed as well that people don't seem to have the same, you know,
like if somebody looks sharp in like if it is like a super
somebody looks sharp.
If you have like a matching tracksuit that's like really cool and you look put together, I'm fine with that even. But it's just the I literally just rolled out of bed.
Yeah.
It's
get
weird.
It. I mean, I go every time I go to the grocery store, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Are you still at home?
Well, yeah, like pajama pants in public.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, that happens.
I see that with people walking to the light rail to go to school. And I'm like, you can't put on some pants for class.
Oh, yeah.
I
will say when I was in college,
we wore
all sorts of.
Yeah.
I don't think I wore sweats, but I am sure I went to class in flip-flops and like.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, track pants.
That was the one place I don't think I ever wore, because I wear jeans consistently. I don't wear sweatpants out to anything. Even going to a movie, I don't like putting sweatpants on.
Yeah.
But in college, you know, you usually have to work out in the morning. So you'd be in the locker room already. You do the workout. Then you just put sweats on, head to class, and then come back.
I didn't do a workout.
Well, yeah.
I just rolled out of my bed and continued rolling towards my class.
I think even sweatpants are fine. It's the plaid pajama.
No, there's that. Yeah.
Like, there is no effort here.
Oh, my favorite is when I go, because again, when I go, I think for me, it's most noticeable at the airport because people find airplanes to be an extension of their homes now.
Yeah.
So they feel totally comfortable just.
Yeah. And that used to be something you got dressed up for.
Yeah.
That's super old fashioned to say that. I recognize that. Like, okay, because it is uncomfortable.
I don't think it's super old fashioned. We're not that old.
Yeah. I feel old when I go out and everyone's wearing something they painted in 2 days ago.
They painted in?
They painted their bedroom and then just left the clothes on for 2 days. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. The kids, man, they have different priorities.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Because I noticed the people that were dressed up, like dressed up, meaning like you're just even jeans.
My
they
favorite
were my
is,
age or older.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I think that like once it's acceptable, it's just like everybody's going to kind of veer that way. And maybe that's a little bit of the pandemic. I don't know. That's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for raising it, Dawn, because it's always good
definitely
to ask
not
questions.
Trying to school people. I'm just interested.
You no, you want to shame people. It's fine. Shame those kids. You kids don't understand.
Well, there is fashion that exists for young people. I just don't know why they're not choosing to wear it for a comedy show. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
I would love it.
Some lady who they would call an older lady.
I think they'd just call you Karen.
Yeah. If I came up and I went, what were you, when you put that on?
Yeah.
Did you think this is good?
I think they'd go, they'd take that real well. Film it.
No.
When you do that.
I will never do that. I'm just expressing it on the radio.
Hey, when we, to them directly, if they're listening.
No, I just wonder what, like, it's okay. They feel comfortable. And that's all that matters. As long as they're buying a ticket.
I'd be curious what teachers have to say about it. Mike, when you, I mean, you're a little younger, but do you notice a similar difference when you go places?
100%. Yeah, I think it's definitely different. And like you said, it's more of the pajama pant bottoms and those like graphic ones. Actually, Sebastian Maniscalco, I was actually just listening because he's got a whole bit about this.
Yeah,
you got listen for 20 seconds.
Yeah, of course.
What's going on at the airport? Could we put a dress code at the airport?
Yeah.
It looks like a slumber party. Do people care what they look like anymore? They just come out now as is. They must roll out of bed.
Yeah.
And then they're at United.
Yeah.
You know what drives me nuts about that?
Yeah.
Pillows. Wearing your pillow.
Oh, sure.
Like not having a pillow.
No, put it the one around.
Wearing it.
Yeah.
Before you're sitting in the seat.
Yeah.
Like, I just got to make sure I get it ready to go so I can just sit down and pillow.
They'd rather, just hang it because it's like their hands are full.
Yeah.
I kind of get that.
Put it on your bag.
And bringing a blanket to the movie theater.
Oh, no. That's, we're not doing that. Hey, when we come back, another reason we're old. Actually, this has nothing to do with being old. Dawn's going to tell us about trolls ruining Taylor Swift for us. Great. When we come back right here on
Hey guys, Bradley here for my good friends at Little Blind Spot and Hunter Douglas. Did you know that without energy efficient window coverings, a home can lose up to 30% of heating and cooling energy through its windows? According to the Department of Energy, when it comes to Hunter Douglas window treatments, energy efficiency and comfort go hand in hand. Hunter Douglas cellular shades are the most insulating interior shades available anywhere. While you might think your vinyl blinds are helping save energy, studies have shown that cellular shades outperform traditional vinyl blinds in terms of energy efficiency. Visit the Little Blind Spot showroom to explore how premium Hunter Douglas window treatments can enhance and elevate your home, delivering the utmost in sophistication and quality. Choose from different materials, styles, operating systems, fabrics, and colors to create your perfect Hunter Douglas window treatment solution. Check out the Little Blind Spot showroom in downtown Hopkins or online at littleblindspotmn.com.
The Little Blind Spot, we're big on service.
7-4.
There are radio stations that specialize in politics and other serious matters. Good for them. We do something a little, lighter. Seriously lighter. My Talk 107.1.
Have you listened to all of Taylor Swift's album? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't,
no.
Maybe you don't care. Either way, let's talk about it. You know, sometimes people write things that other people don't like. It's called an opinion piece, and it's their opinion.
Oh, is that what those are?
Yeah. So there was there's a magazine called Paste, and they did an article, their review of the Tortured Poets Department on Friday after they listened to all of it. Now, it had some criticisms in it, I guess. They didn't love it. And then they had to say this. Editor's note, there is no byline on this review due to how, in byline meaning there's no author included. In 2019, when Paste reviewed Lover, the album, the writer was sent threats of violence from readers who disagreed with the work. We care more about the safety of our staff than a name attached to an article. Oh my gosh. It seems so out of character for a Swiftie to make death threats. What do you think?
I think that this is just the state of the world we live in. People always have to go from zero to death threats in relative short order. And so I don't think it's particular to Taylor Swift. I think it's just that Taylor Swift has a army of fans across the internet. And if among them, there's going to be a few people who take things too far.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I think that it's subjective. And if you have like some interesting commentary on it, obviously this author did. They say it infantilizes its audience and compared it to a controversial poet who I don't know who this is, Rupi Kaur. Anyway, obviously some deeper thoughts on this, and they cannot include their name. And I just, it's just bizarre to me.
But that's like, I feel like this is just a sign or a, you know, an indication of the world we live in, which is like these days you can't really do anything with on social media without at some point somebody going to 11, right?
Yeah.
Which is really just sad. But that's, I think, more of a problem with social media than it is Taylor Swift or Taylor Swift's fans. I don't think there's anything unique about Taylor Swift fans. Although I will say, I think there's many things unique about her and her career and her trajectory and certainly the level of you know, adoration her fans give her. But that seems like it's made worse or more intense by social media, which is something that doesn't just apply to Taylor Swift. I mean, look at politics. Look at people say something about anything.
Yeah.
And at some point, somebody's going to be like, die!
Oh, sure. And some of those topics especially involve women, like life and death, you know? And so I don't think it's right, but I can understand how people can get very heated over things. And it's, but these are song lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's like, reviewing an album, it's just a shame to me that like you can't give your opinion of an album without having people dox you, find out where you live and try to harm you. That's just crazy to me.
No, I mean, it's really a scary place.
Yeah, it is. But there's another controversial thing that Taylor Swift people are talking about, and that is the backlash that she's gotten for some of her lyrics in I Hate It Here. Mike, have you listened to the whole album? Did you?
I've listened to each one, but I don't... what was the line from I Hate It Here?
It says, my friends used to play a game. This is Taylor Swift's lyrics. My friends used to play a game where we would pick a decade we wished we could live in instead of this. I'd say the 1830s, but without all the racists and getting married off for the highest bid. So people are really taking an issue with that.
So what do they have an issue with?
Well, they have an issue with, they think that it's just a dismissive reference to like everything that was going on. Like so many wrong things about this. Saying that you can't have the 1830s without racism. And I'd say the 1830s, but without all the racists. Now, Taylor, come on. But it's like if you like search 1830s, there's all kinds of opinions. Like they want to talk about like Native Americans during that time. And, you know, I think what she was just trying to do is saying like there were, I think she does acknowledge that. I mean, it's just a line in a song. You know what I mean? Why are we expecting her to go into great detail about it? You know, if it was a true story or even if it wasn't, like if they really had that game, like when would you like to live? The 1950s or whatever. That's, I think, kind of a normal conversation that people have. I just don't know why there's so much weight being put on this one line in a song whenever I feel like she did solve the problem of that time by saying without racism, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, I would say you're referencing Twitter and X, which for the most part is a cesspool of hot takes and trolls. And I wouldn't take it too much. Like if it were coming from, you know, people. Okay. Well, I two things. One, I think legitimate criticism is fine. And I don't want to take issue with people who have legitimate criticisms, like who actually sit down and read her lyrics and go, I have an opinion about them. Cause I think that that's applying logic to something, which is awesome. If it's just somebody having a hot take or just trying to get, you know, likes or whatever you even get anymore. What do you even get anymore on Twitter?
I don't know.
What, still likes.
Still likes.
Yeah.
Attention.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, then maybe I'd be more suspect of what their intentions are and less on any real critique of her music. But I think critiquing her music is fine.
For sure.
Yeah, I think so too. I just think, I don't get it. Maybe I'm just ignorant. I don't know. I just don't know why we have to like pull apart. Like, because I just think about all the songs out there and all the lyrics that it have ever been. And it's just like, there's been some things said that are the entire song is about like, yeah.
But I guarantee
after a 16 year old.
If Madonna posted a song about butterflies.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter would tell her to die a horrible and painful death and rot in hell.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, God, like any like, woman who's going to put creative work out there, at some point, people are going to tear it down. Mike, what were you trying to say?
And she did 31 songs. So let's say an average of 4 minutes per song. That's just over 2 hours of music. If this is the worst line they found in 31 songs that were 4 minutes each.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. I don't know. I don't get it. Like you said, I mean, look at, well, especially look at people that are a direct rival to her. What has Kanye said in some of his music?
Oh my God.
What have all these other people said in some of their music? And this is what we're going to debate over? Like, I don't get it.
And everyone's got a hot take. Like, people are putting up pictures of, like, you want to live in the 1830s? No, you don't. Showing a woman in a corset. And then, like, oh, yeah, well, what about this? And they're like, here's the doctor's kit from the 1830s. And, like, this is what they would do. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then, no, they don't have private jets in the 1830s, Taylor. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
these, oh, I my mean, God. So bizarre. Because I guarantee you it took her less time to write that lyric than it did
if she wrote
all
it.
The collective time that these people took.
Leave to Taylor craft, alone!
To craft what they wanted to say about the 1830s. I don't know. I don't know, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, like I said, I just think you're going to a place that is never going to give her any. They're not going to imply the best in what she's doing.
Yeah.
The fans will fan. And what I find interesting, particularly about both stories that you brought, one is the extremes of her own fans. Mm-hmm. And the other would be extremes. I mean, I guess you could consider it that. I'm not as familiar with that story, so I don't know for sure, but... it sounds like that would maybe be the extremes of the people who are not fans.
That's correct. Yeah. I would say so. Sure.
And the common denominator there is social media.
Yeah, for sure.
Hot mess. Well, Dawn, thank you for the Taylor updates. When we come back, you are excited for Patty Stanger's return. Who's Patty Stanger?
Yes.
She's the millionaire matchmaker. Dawn's hot takes on her when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.